David Arredondo joins us. Voter 0001.
Exactly.
This is you for the early voting.
Absolutely, and we want to remind your listeners that early voting continues now until the day before Monday before Election Day, and absentee voting. So if you have someone in the house who, you know, is bedridden or can't get out, get them an absentee ballot, have it filled out and signed, and the ballot will be mailed to them.
Are we talking about last Monday? Was it last Monday for when the polls opened?
No, early voting began Wednesday, the 17th.
So at what time? 9 o'clock?
No, the Board of Election Office is open from 8 to 5, okay. Monday through Friday. But then you're going to get some extended, it's 8 to 7. Mm. They're 8 to 7. And then on the weekends, last couple of weekends before the election, it'll be open on a Saturday. And I believe the Sunday before election, the 13th, it will be open on Sunday from 1 to 5.
And so, what time did you get in line to make sure you were 0001?
There was no line. 4 years ago when I went and Obama was on the ticket, I think I was about the 20th in line, and but I may have been the first Republican that voted. Today or last week, I got there about 10-2, and for
nobody else there.
Nobody else there, and for at least 10 minutes after I went in, there was nobody behind me.
Now, did they give you? I see you have a "I love her heart Ohio voting
it's
sticker.
I shape of Ohio." Inferring a heart, I
now,
love
Now, is that
voting.
From elections gone by, or do they give you one of those?
They give you one.
Voting?
You guys were racking your brains as to how it's done when you were talking last Wednesday. But when you vote, they will give you a sticker.
Yep. Those stickers, by the way, are probably 10 years old, right? They buy a big batch. They got them in bulk at one point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they go back.
They don't bother to put the year on there as well.
That's right.
But
that's
I see that the adhesive is holding up on your...
It is, yeah.
Have you had to transfer it to a different...
I did, It's a different... I'm not wearing the same clothes every day.
Well, that may be just the
Well,
the
not
suit.
Like us.
Yeah, that's right. Not like you.
That he had there. I wonder when you're voting like that... Normally when you vote, there's a little rhythm because there's people coming in. You see people next to you that take the vote. So you work through it. Did you just sort of take your good old time and contemplate everything?
Study everything before I go in. Everyone can go to the Board of Elections website, and you will get a list of the candidates, both Democratic candidates and Republican candidates. If you don't wish to vote in either of those primaries, you can vote issues only. And... So the other thing to know is if you wish to switch your party, I often get folks saying, "Hey, David, I want to be a Republican. Can I go down to the Board of Elections and sign up?" It doesn't work that way. You know, when I register to vote, can I sign up as a Democrat? It doesn't work that way. The way you get identification for a party is by voting in a primary. Subsequently, if you wish to lose the party identification and not have to switch, you just don't vote in a primary for 2 years, and it will drop the D or the R after your name.
Like a reset, or it goes back to the default, I guess.
That's right. It's the default position.
Wow, okay. Let's get a little bit of a primary from ABC on the road to the White House and what happened this weekend and what's coming up.
Road to the White House. After a weekend of a Republican primary in South Carolina and Democratic caucuses in Nevada, both parties are looking forward. The Republicans have their sights set on Tuesday's GOP caucuses in Nevada and Democrats on this upcoming weekend's primary in South Carolina. Over the weekend, Donald Trump taking the victory in South Carolina and Hillary Clinton in Nevada. Now, Trump is suggesting maybe Marco Rubio isn't eligible to run for president, saying he doesn't know, all he did is retweet that claim, but that it's something for lawyers to look at. Rubio is firing back.
I'm going to spend zero time on his interpretation of the Constitution with regards to eligibility.
Trump arrives here way on top of Nevada's polls, but polls are notoriously inaccurate in this state. As for the Democrats, Clinton's win over the weekend is seen by her campaign as a blockade to Bernie Sanders' momentum that he had been gaining.
The fight goes on. The future that we want is within our grasp.
I'm Alex Stone, ABC News on the campaign trail in Las Vegas.
Well, there's always something that Donald Trump seems to be going, and I guess maybe in the sense Mark Rubio thinks, okay, he's putting a spotlight on, I'm doing something that makes him want to say something about me. So there's that too.
Well, Rubio is his worst nightmare, because if you have a head-to-head race between Trump and Rubio, which we may eventually get to, Rubio beats him hands down.
Now, we need to acknowledge you're a Rubio
delegate. That is correct. Right. That is correct. And I will say, if I can, to comment about South Carolina, all the credit to Donald Trump, who won, an across-the-board win. He won in, I believe, 41 counties out of 44. The only three counties went to Rubio. So his win was by 10 points, not quite as much as the polls were predicting. So when you go back to the Real Clear Politics average, it had Trump at 31.8. He actually did a little bit better. He got 32.5. But the two candidates that did improve, they had 18.8 and 18.5 going into South Carolina, were both Cruz and Rubio. So essentially what you're seeing, as everyone is talking about, is a three-person race.
Governor Kasich put out an email overnight or yesterday saying it's a four-person race. You don't see it that way?
No, and I think that he had a good showing in New Hampshire, but now as we start rolling into multiple races, I mean, it's nice to be able to focus on one state. But the reality is, the rest of the way, we're going to have primary elections, multiple elections in multiple states on a given day. So the South Carolina-only day and the New Hampshire and the Iowa, those days are over. And Super Tuesday should really show where the governor's ratings are, and those are in the single digits.
Now, we have the sort of the flip-flop of the South Carolina and Nevada, the election and the caucus that's going on. So those things are taking place, so I guess tomorrow night, I think there's
The Nevada caucuses go on for the Republicans, and then last Saturday they were held for the Democrats.
All right. And then there's what they call, I guess, Super Tuesday.
On March 1st.
Mm-hmm. Which includes
About 14 states, many of them in the South. The South, what they call the SEC, Southeastern Conference. Texas is one of the big states that is voting that day. Of course, that's Ted Cruz's home state. So we expect that he'll do well there, possibly win it. But Trump is still the biggest rival to Ted Cruz.
In terms of delegates in Super Tuesday, are most of the states winner take all? Do they divvy them up? How does that work on Super Tuesday?
On Super Tuesday, from Iowa until March the 15th, the allocation of delegates is supposed to be proportional. However, for some reason that's unexplained to me, South Carolina was a winner take all. And it could be that because of the counties, if you win the majority of counties, you win them all. But Trump got all of the delegates in South Carolina.
After South Carolina, Jeb Bush put his campaign on hold, as it were, or basically
suspended.
At this point like that. So the field obviously getting smaller. Is that going to change much after Super Tuesday, do you think?
Yeah, it could, although I had said from the beginning, nobody needed to drop out. You were asking back in December and November, who should drop out now? Because they were dropping out. And I says, a single vote hasn't been cast yet. Well, now we have had votes cast. We can see the numbers. We know that Ben Carson, good man that he is not going to win. It's time for him to step aside. We can see that Governor John Kasich, a very good candidate, is not going to win. And so we need to focus on those who do have the best chance of winning. I also did say at the very beginning that the candidates, based on their ideologies, were in subgroups in which they were essentially competing against each other in the subgroups, not necessarily Jeb Bush against Trump. They wouldn't appeal to the same voter. So now what we're seeing is essentially the Trump and the Cruz voters. Those two candidates are voting are competing for the same voter, and similarly, Rubio and Kasich are competing for the same voters. And I should probably add that Carson, being an outsider, is also in the Trump and Cruz group.
So when these other ones put their campaigns on hold, do then the other campaigns think, okay, those supporters now are coming into my fold?
Most likely that they will, yeah.
But looking at that, if Cruz were no longer a factor, but he will be for a long time to come, if he were not a factor and you say that his supporters might go more to Trump?
That's a possibility, yeah.
That would give him a bigger bump than
right.
these other guys dropping out helping Rubio.
Right, right. But it's still, polls still show that when you have a head-to-head matchup between Trump and Rubio, or even Trump and Cruz, that those two beat Trump.
And where do you think the Jeb Bush votes go? Ben Carson perhaps soon? John Kasich soon? Where do you think those sets of votes go?
I believe they go to Rubio. Probably in the not-too-distant future, we're going to see Jeb Bush on stage with Marco Rubio and throwing his support to him. A painful moment that it will be, given that they had a little bit of a rivalry during the primaries here. But probably a proud moment also for Jeb Bush, because he was a mentor for Marco Rubio for many years. And so I think he'll be able to stand up there with pride and say, I'm backing Marco now.
Do you think Jeb Bush's political ambitions, in a sense, on a national level are over?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They're I'm not over. Talking now, but just done.
Yeah. But keep in mind that he has a very, very talented son who's about 39 years old and was elected a couple of years ago as a Texas Land Commissioner, which is a statewide, very important position. And so he already has the statewide recognition. He's an Army veteran. He's an attorney. And his name is George Prescott Bush. And he looks more like me than he does his dad.
Okay. Mark that
down,
Bruce.
Is there something that David has to tell us about this?
More George.
Okay, good.
Okay. His mom's Mexican is my point.
I see. Okay, all right.
Mine.
I was seeing there.
Like my mom.
As you mentioned, you're a delegate for Marco
Rubio. Disclosure.
Who's in Tennessee now? Because that's one of the states that's coming up that's going to be campaigning. Here's a little bit of this, of course, with his...
Thank you. Don't say polo. Please don't say polo.
And in Las Vegas, of course, the Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, apparently there's a card game analogy that was going on or something actually dealing with...
Turnout was strong, but not a record among Silver State Democrats, and in at least one precinct, a split decision was decided by a game of chance. The 30 voters at an elementary school in a tiny town near the California border were tied 15-15. Under caucus rules, a deck of cards was shuffled, and a supporter of Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton each drew one. The ace of clubs beats the six of hearts. The disputed delegate went to Clinton. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Las Vegas.
Those cards come in handy in Vegas.
She's got the lucky sevens going, doesn't she, between there and...
Can I give you a bit of insight here on the delegate counts? As you've noted, Hillary did win the caucuses, and she got the majority of the delegates there. But if you hear the Democrats talk, they mention a superdelegate, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Superdelegates were a construct that came out of the 1972 Democratic nomination process, of which I was a delegate for McGovern in that year. What they did was they created the superdelegates, who would be essentially your publicly elected officials, the governor, the senators, and so they would each have a seat as a superdelegate. This was their firewall to prevent any future insurgencies like a McGovern or a Bernie Sanders to win the nomination. And I will bet you dollars to donuts that after this nomination, the Republicans do the same thing. Because if you did have that same construct in this cycle of the Republican nomination process, there's no way that Donald Trump would get the nomination. Right now, the possibility still exists.
Now, on one hand, the Democrats have 15%. That's my understanding. Superdelegates, 15%. Mm-hmm. They are elected officials. They can choose anybody they want.
That's correct.
But what I hear a little bit of is, correct me if I'm wrong, taking the political process out of the hands of the voting public.
Exactly. Yeah. It's rigged.
But you think that's, you think the Republicans will do that too?
Because of Trump.
Is that a good thing? Bad thing?
Well, it depends. If I were a Trump supporter, I wouldn't be happy about such a thing. You know, I'd be yelling and screaming. But if you look at the Democrats right now, they're saying, thank goodness we're not going to have Bernie Sanders as our nominee. Now, you take out the superdelegates, and right now, Clinton and Sanders have the same number of delegates. And so it would have been possible that, and he's going to continue to run, and he's going to gain momentum. He's going to gain his voters. It always happens with the Democrats. If you look at Eugene McCarthy and George McGovern and, you know, Jesse Jackson, there's always somebody on the left that is going to pull in the younger vote and the idealistic, the progressives. And Bernie has got a real campaign. He's got that office up the street over here, too. So, he's going to be around for a while.
Now, did you use the word rigged? I think you said rigged.
Yes.
But I don't know. We're talking about American politics here, and he's tossing around the word rigged.
Really?
Jeez.
The election's rigged.
It's not the election is rigged. The process,
the process
is rigged.
The process. Yeah.
You're going to vote. You can still vote for Bernie Sanders. You can still vote for Donald Trump. And
but you might be
15%
down already.
That's right.
You're starting 15% down.
Yeah.
You're
golfer. If you're not an establishment candidate, you are down.
Wow.
Okay.
Tough to over. That's a big hurdle.
It depends.
Now you know what it's like and why there's people that sort of stay out of the political process.
Bruce, I declare.
What are you?
I'm staying out.
Oh, I thought you were declaring.
I thought he's going to be a candidate
I'm
now.
I'm not going to run.
What are we going to run for?
For our lives. By the way, coming up tomorrow in the Chronicle Telegram is their election guide. Good chance to pick that up to see what local issues candidates are on the ballot as well in your community. Again, that's coming up tomorrow. And don't forget the... our coverage gets underway on the 15th, which is the day where some of the big states, Florida, Illinois, North Carolina, Missouri, Ohio.
As Bruce said, David, is this son of Super Tuesday?
Yeah, well, this is son because it's the first day that the states, the Republican states, will go winner take all. And Ohio's going to be very, very pivotal. Could be a four-man race with if the governor is still in here. If it's a four-man race, then whoever wins only needs 26% of the vote. So, who does that favor? I don't know. But I think if he gets out of the race, then, you know, it's anybody's. Yeah.
All right. David Arredondo joining us this morning. Thanks for sharing your time.
Thanks for having me.